This series of classes, I've called them the family, the shadow of things to come. And the more I study on it, the more I'm convinced that I really believe that families were created by God for a really good purpose. And I also think that they're designed to kind of give us a hint of what's in store for us. Because there's a lot of talk about family of God in the Bible, isn't there? A lot of talk about children, fathers, mothers, all that. And a family, from Genesis to Revelation, the message of God is reconciliation. It's unity. And you take something that's broken up and you make it unified again. And so families on earth experience that to various degrees. And this is not heaven, is it? So it's clear that families have trouble here. But when they're working right, and when we're really pushing in that direction, they do seem to have hints of something really, really good in them. So that's what we've been talking about then, is families. I want to say something about children today. Typically, when we talk about a family, we talk about, children. If you don't have children, I bet 100% of us here used to be one anyway. And so we all can relate to a children. Here's what Psalm said about children. Psalm 127, I think Solomon wrote this. 127:3. Sons are a heritage from the Lord, children a reward from Him. Like arrows in the hands of a warrior are sons born in one's youth, and blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. So he thinks it's good to have kids and a bunch of them. But if you take a look at a baby, babies are strange little creatures. What in the world is it in a grown adult human who has plenty to do already that's inside them that makes them want to take care of a little old baby? You ever thought about that? Why in the world do you even want to take care of that little character? What can he do or she do for them? What can they do? They can cry and mess up stuff. Well, if you take a look at a baby, why in the world are babies born babies instead of adults? Other than it'd be tough on the mom. But anyway, that's a separate, that just popped in my head. Let's see. But why is it that babies can't be born with adult intellects where you can reason with them and where they can do a little something for themselves? From the time that I reached my hand out to a hot stove and my mama slapped my hand and said, "Get away from that boy." I learned right then that I don't know enough to stay alive on my own. I don't even know how to make a living. And so a baby's like that too. Can't walk, can't talk, can't hardly think, but they can grin at you, and so that seems to make all the difference, doesn't it? What a weird dynamic. So why are babies born babies instead of adults? Pardon me? Thank you. So it's a sequence of events that results in development. All right. If our topic here is family, a shadow of things to come, where do children fit in? I mean, if I'm thinking about a how do children fit into this idea of this is kind of like a hint of what might be to come or what God wants out of a family? Where does a kid fit in? Yes, Brother Elton. That's a deep thought. Yeah. Ah. Does it make you want to take care of them more because they're dependent? Seems like to me it does. Can't take care of himself, so I want to take care of him. Yeah. Well, isn't that the truth? Yeah. Yes, ma'am. Oh, yeah, by trying our patience. Right, they teach us patience. Right. Very good. It's a learning process. A growth process for the mom and daddy. Yes, sir.
Since we're created in the image of God, an attitude of God is that He loves everybody. He has a caring attitude towards others, and we have that within us to care for one another, to care for our own. Put it that way.
All right, good. We have it in us to care for our own and care for one another. Yes, ma'am, Lorraine. Helping each other through it. Good. Thank you. Elton, yes, sir.
And two people started out as adults. You might remember Adam and Eve, and it didn't make any difference if they still had
enough time. Yeah, thank you. Yes, ma'am. Thank you, ma'am. Karen?
A relationship is building until the house can be moved down. You have to do it from a foundation back. A child is like a foundation that can build, you help mold these people.
All right.
They trust us.
Good. All right. Thank you. Could be. Could be. You got a Bible on you? Let's turn to Luke. Luke 18. What's a baby for? Luke 18. If I start reading in verse 15 of Luke 18, it says this: people were also bringing babies to Jesus to have him touch them. And when the disciples saw this, they rebuked them. But Jesus called the children to him and said, "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. I tell you the truth, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it." Matthew 18. verse 1 says, at that time the disciples came to Jesus and asked, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? He called a little child and had him stand among them, and he said, I tell you the truth, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. If you read those two verses and let them soak in real good, what one message do you get about the about a purpose of children?
Pure.
Innocent.
Believing.
Trusting. They show us how to be in the kingdom of God. Now, if I go out and tell you how to be in the kingdom of God, is that better than showing you how to be in the kingdom of God? I got a daughter. Where are you? Carter. Carter's 18. Now, let me say I'm on the phone with Carter and she needs to change the oil in the car. So I call her and say, okay, Carter, pull the dipstick and check the oil. And Carter, her name for me is Father D. It might be because my middle name's Daniel, but she calls me Father D. I love it. It's fun. But she's on the phone, said, dipstick? What's a dipstick, Daddy? I thought that's somebody's name. See, somebody called me that by mistake the other day. Hey, dipstick. I say, Carter, get the oil cap and twist it off so you can pour the oil. Oil cap, is that like a Dodgers cap or an Astros cap or a bottle cap? What is that, Father D? Look, get the oil and pour it down into the oil. Coconut oil? Is that Wesson oil? Lamp oil? What is that, Father D? I'll never get that oil changed. But think of this. What if, when I said, check the dipstick, the words flowed out of my mouth, formed a fog, and the fog turned into JP over there. And JP goes over under the hood and says, Carter, look at here. You see this little old thing with a circle on it coming out of that big bunch of metal? Reach down in there and pull on that. Now, you see that right there? Now, that's kind of shaped like a stick. All it is just a little old thin, long piece of metal, but they call that a stick. And what happens is it dips down in the oil down in there and shows you how much oil's in the engine. So that's why it's called a dipstick. You get that? Carter's saying, oh, yeah, I get that. What's the difference? Well, other than it's JP instead of me. That's a big difference right there. But what's the other difference? It's the Word becoming flesh, is it not? It's way easier to learn it if you're seeing somebody who's showing you how. All right. Jesus just said, look at the children, you know what the kingdom of God is like. So now we don't have to worry about that anymore. We know what the kingdom of God's like. What is a child's perspective on security? Natural. Natural perspective on security. Trust what? Trust that everything's going to be okay. I distinctly remember us going and picking up Coke bottles in the ditches and redeeming them for 3 cents. I think it went up to 5 before I got grown. But 3 cents. For a Coke bottle. And my mom would get us all 5 or however many of us there were there, and we'd go up and down these ditches, and it's fun to find Coke bottles, and we made a fun trip out of it. Last year, my dad told me, he said, you didn't know we had to do that in order to get your lunch money, did you? No, I didn't know that. I heard him complaining about money a lot, but I said to myself, I remember this, why do you worry about money all the time? You know good and well we're going to be okay. I was thinking about that about my dad, you know. because he's worried about money. And my mom had a little old tub of quarters that we, you know, lunch was, I don't know, 35 cents, and it went to 50, then it went to 80, whatever, across time. But those quarters were our milk money. Like, I had to milk a dumb cow, and we sold the milk, and for whatever it was, a gallon, I can't remember. But those quarters went in there for our lunch money. Well, there's always quarters. There are always going to be quarters. Mom, quit worrying about stuff. My natural inclination was, my mom and daddy going to take care of stuff, so I don't need to worry about it, and my mom and daddy don't need to worry about it. I had no idea about being poor or about any of that stuff. I felt just good about it. The natural inclination of a child who trusts his parents is, everything's going to be fine. Now, isn't that an interesting thought? What's the inclination of a Christian who totally trusts God? Be all right, won't it? Be all right. Kids teach us how. Wealth, you know, same thing. What about the natural inclination of a kid regarding friends and grudges? Grudges. What about a grudge, a kid? Kid carry a grudge? Old Raymond Gunner was my friend, but he really made me mad several times. And I got on the bus one time, and I was real mad at him. And he sat down before I did, and I was walking past him. I just got my fist went wham! I hit him right in the head. Because I was mad at him. And he started crying, and then I started feeling terrible about it. And 10 minutes later, we were buddies again. But if old Tyrone and I got into it one time, and I hit him in the head, he might not ever get over that. And I might not either. You know, adults have a real good tendency to hang on to grudges a long time, but kids, they don't. Suffer the little children to come unto me because, why? They're the kingdom of God. Unless you change and become like one of these, you can't be in the kingdom either. So what a marvelous use for kids. Well, anyway. So what are some of a kid's deepest needs? What's the deepest need of a child? Love. Needs somebody to take care of him and somebody to like him. That's a kind of an instinctive thing in a human, that just like it is in animals. Like, an animal really needs its own kind to like it, because if it doesn't, like a little baby red bird, mama don't like him, what's going to happen to him? Get kicked out of the nest and he'll die. So an animal's life depends on others of its kind liking it. Well, so does a baby's. A baby's life depends on that. So a deepest need of a baby is approval from somebody that he needs to approve of him. My oldest boy, Logan, was 2, and I was cutting the grass one time, and I saw something out of the corner of my eye, and I looked over there, and Logan had a Fisher-Price lawnmower. He saw me cutting the grass, so he figured he would too. So he got that lawnmower, pusher lawnmower, and had a little old gadget in it that makes a noise when it runs. And so Logan, here he was. Boy, I was looking at him. He wasn't looking at me, but I was peeking at him. And man, he was going this way and this way and this way. Boy, he was really getting with it on that grass cutting. And I sat there and looked at him a while, and I started laughing at him. But boy, he was serious. He had little untied tennis shoes on. I remember that. And they were all green and everything. And he was holding on with both hands, and his little old mouth was working like this. He was really getting with it on that grass cutting. And so I walked over there to him, and you know, it didn't always work out good when I walked over to him, so he wasn't too sure how this would work out. So he looked up at me, and he stopped his mower, and he kind of bowed his head like that. And so he was real little, so I had to stoop down and look at him. I said, "Hey, Logan, man, look at all that grass you cut. Boy, I'm proud of you." And that little old guy just lit up like a Christmas tree, smiled all over his face. He was so happy. What made the difference? Approval. That's all it was. I just liked him. And he really did like that. Approval's a big deal, even if you only got toy tools to fool with. I mean, what was he doing? Nothing. He wasn't doing anything productive. All he was doing was trying to be like me, and I sure did love that. So approval's a big deal with a little human. Now let's fast forward 40 years. What do humans need when they're 40 years old? Same thing. They need we can pretend we don't need it, but we really do need it. You know, I've heard some people say, man, if I like myself, that's all I really need. Well, you just start in on that, trying to like yourself without anybody else in the world liking you. You can't hardly get it done. So what we need is somebody who's important to like us. Well, we need to feel significant. Man's Search for Meaning, Viktor Frankl, that's a great book to read. He studied people in the German prison camps. And when they were stripped of everything else, what they have is a meaning in their suffering. So the ones who did the best were the ones who had something to live for. The ones who felt like they had something significant to do, or they themselves were significant. Those were the ones who did the best in those prison camps. Everybody needs to feel significant. Yes, ma'am.
I don't know if
that's a big deal, isn't it?
It's a very big deal.
Yeah.
You can hear a mother say something nice to her child, like, you stupid or something like that. That child will really up to his reputation.
Yeah. Yeah. I've seen a lot of that.
It's wonderful to hear the little bitty slang things that a parent will say to a child, knowing that child is listening to exactly what the parents teach.
Yeah, and believe in it for the most part. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that's the truth. Yes, ma'am. Thank you. Good. We're mostly grown. Yeah, Josh?
You know, a lot of what we're talking about too is trust. Children trust us tremendously, especially at the younger age. And we have to be, I don't think that as young parents, we tend to understand exactly how much they trust us. They trust us in what we say about them, that that's true, and they can, just like you said earlier,
going to jump.
So she didn't jump out of the car. So they, you have to be, you have to tell them they will take literally into heart.
Yes. She thought you were serious. Yeah, right. Well, thank you. Well, when we're... Tyrone, do you want something to say? I think that's worth saying, Brother Tyrone, and I think the people in the back of the room didn't hear it. Am I right about that? Yeah, I'll tell them again. So he says when he counsels people who are fixing to get married, he says to the boy, you got to earn your wife's trust. She's trusting her father. She's grown up like that, but you got to earn it. So it works the best when you are a dependable person. I mean, you got to earn it because she's got that model to go by. And for the most part, that's true, I believe. Thank you. Well, okay, most of us here are pretty well grown up, got some years on us, got some age on us, and we quit being children. And Jesus said, you gotta change and become like a little child, which I guess means that those people back in His age were grown up too. And apparently we change when we grow up, and we start thinking different things, and we find out that everybody's not trustworthy, and we find out we ourselves are not all that trustworthy, and we find out there's pain in the world, and everything's not as secure as it looks like it is, and we find out all these disillusioning things that wound us and hurt us and everything, and we change, and we're called to become back like those little kids. Well, we talked to a couple of weeks ago about that word dysfunction that I can't stand hardly at all, that word. But anyway, it has some usefulness, that word is. Now, why do we have so many dysfunctional kids in the world? You know, we did that family dynamic thing where one of them's the hero, but being a hero really doesn't fix them because they kill themselves trying to be a hero lots of times. Some of them are the comedian, but that doesn't really fix them because they think if I wasn't funny, you wouldn't like me anyway. And then, the peacemaker and the silent withdrawal type of kid, all those family dynamics that go on as a result of problems in the family, why do we have so many dysfunctional kids? Because we got just a whole world of flawed parents. Now, how do you get over that? You don't. I mean, how in the world are you going to quit being flawed? It's really hard to quit being flawed. So we might as well, I think, get it in our minds that we're going to have a certain amount of messed upness about ourselves. And parents are going to be that way, and kids are going to be that way too. So what is our answer then if we're going to become like little children? Get some perfect parents. Matthew 11 says this. It was Jesus talking. Matthew 11, 28. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Do you think he was talking to some weary people who had heavy burdens? Any of you in here are weary and have some heavy burdens? Yeah. Well, he's got a promise here. You come to me and I'll give you rest. What will he give us rest from? Our weariness and heavy burdens, I guess, right? Well, rest is a more endearing term to me all the time the longer I live, the more I want a little of that. Rest and relaxation. But he's got a promise there. You come to me and I'll give it to you. Well, what in the world is he offering? I want to read some scriptures with us today. And I think it offers some really, really good news. Galatians 4. And if you want to, just follow along with me, either listening or in your Bible, but Galatians 4. Verse 4 says, when the time had fully come, listen to this, God sent his Son, born of a woman, born under law, to redeem those under law, that we might receive the full rights of sons. And because you're sons, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So you're no longer a slave, but a son. And since you're a son, God has made you also an heir. Contemplate that a little while. Ephesians 1. Verse 4. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will. What do you think about that? You know, we spend a lot of time, or I have, trying to get my kids to believe in God. I think it's a grievous sin to try to get our kids to believe in God without also teaching them that God believes in them. You know, if I'm reading this book right, God believes in us. He's wanting to adopt us. What kind of compliment is that? Romans 8:13. If you live according to the sinful nature, you'll die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you'll live. Because those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you didn't receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the spirit of sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. And the Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we're God's children. Now if we're children, then we're heirs. We're heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. Romans 8:29. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those he predestined, he also called. And those he called, he also justified. And those he justified, he also glorified. And what then shall we say in response to this? If God's for us, who can be against us? I think what God is saying is, I believe in you. And I want you with me. So what's the answer to our dysfunctional families? Get a different set of parents. Get a perfect parent. And that would be God. And that's what we're being offered here. What an outstanding piece of news that is. Even if we got the best parents in the world. I got a pretty good dad, I think, and had a pretty good mom. But I can think of a bunch of stuff I wish my dad had done different. He had a bad temper, for one thing. And I can think of several things that set up in me some wrong belief systems that have given me trouble my whole life. And unless I'm wrong, you can think of some of the same things in your parents. However, if we have a perfect parent who's adopted us, then we got all kinds of hope in front of us, because then we can become like little children again and have the child perspective on security, on grudges, on wealth, on friendship, on all that stuff. Now, brother, that's a big message. That's a big old piece of good news right there. Most psychiatrists, and I'm nearly done, I'm most thankful to you for listening to me. Most psychiatrists study sick people to try to figure out what makes them sick. A guy named Maslow studied really well people to try to figure out what made them well. And he decided that humans need certain things, and he called it a hierarchy of needs. And he said, in order for us to even start developing in our life, we need to have like something like food and shelter, food and clothing and drink and all that. So we have some basic needs. In other words, it's hard to sing a happy little song of cheer if a wild tiger is eating on you. So you got to have the basics in place before you can get happy. And then, if I can remember it right, another one is safety. And so once you get something to eat, next thing you do is go looking for a cave to hide in and have some kind of sense of security there. Love and belonging. I can't remember that one. But way up here is self-actualization. That's as big of that's as top of a human as you can be, according to Maslow. People who have what they call these peak experience, who are fully actualized, who are being all they can be as a human. And you have to meet all these needs. Okay, the real truth is that none of our parents did all that. But we've got a father who's adopted us who can do it all. We just can't see him, and that kind of makes it hard. But that's what faith is for. That's what faith is for. He can do all that. So we have been adopted, and now we're children of God. So what a good piece of news that is. Let's pray.